Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
If you would, I'd like to turn our attention to the Word of God. So if you would, please stand. And we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And that's on page 959. Give you a few moments to get there. 959, the bottom right-hand side, and then getting into 960. So we start off 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is the word of God. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we are thankful for your word. Especially our commandments are to love you and to love others, so it's not more important than our messages today that we're going to receive directly from you through Bobby to us. So we ask that message comes from you, Lord, that it's blessed by you, prepared by you. And Lord, we're just grateful that you give us this time to be able to receive this message. And it's something that we can take in our hearts today and apply immediately. Lord, we are grateful and we love you and trust you in everything that you're about to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Well, good morning again. My name is Bobby. I get the privilege to preach the word this morning. We're in a series right now. We are looking at the idea of love. And what we did last week is we surveyed 1 Corinthians and just kind of walked through some key verses, some bigger subjects, and just kind of came down to this. They were a beautiful mess. Amen? And y'all are a beautiful mess. Amen? And so we can relate to the fact that we may not struggle with the same sins they did, but man, we sure struggle with sin. And especially when we get together in community, we have relational issues and, you know, divisions and all these different types of things. And so just like the squiggly slide that we used from last week as a review, that sometimes our Christian life can look like this. But I want to be very clear. That's not condemnation. That slide is an encouragement. That in the end, we get there. Amen? That again, this takes us all the way back to 1 John when we talked about it's not perfection, it's direction. It's we're going there, we're headed there. We may turn this way, we may turn that way, we may zigzag. It's definitely not going to be a straight line, but by God's grace, we get there. It'll be hard to get there. Especially when we look at this, it'll be hard to get there if we're not pursuing it. It's definitely hard to go somewhere if you're not actually going somewhere. Amen? That makes sense? There's a little bit of logic there. But in other words, if we're not pursuing love, it's going to be really difficult. Some would say impossible to get there. And our last verse that we'll look at in this series says this up on the screen. Pursue love. Pursue love. It's an imperative. It's a command for y'all, for us, for we to pursue love. But why? Just because it feels good, right? To love and be loved, that's a good thing, amen? And the feeling that comes, now that's a fruit or can be a product of love. But the Apostle Paul in our text this morning, as he takes this beautiful mess of a church and a people that and shows them the way to be spiritual, mature men and women of God, the way or path of God. And he doesn't appeal to goosebumps or Twitter-pated feelings or tears of joy of love, but instead jumps into the deep end of the pool and speaks to some pretty big questions in life. What is the meaning of life? Can I attain coherence? Is there significance to my life? Am I fulfilling my purpose? Have you ever thought about these questions? Do you have a spot to ponder such things? I was thinking about this sermon. It's kind of hard to see up on the screen, but I moved out of my house when I was 17 years old, and I felt like I had all these different like directions in life, all these kind of forks in the road. And this is called the Sunny Cove in Santa Cruz, California, where I lived. And the reason why I brought this up or showed you this is, yeah, it probably wasn't the smartest thing, but in the last cove over, all the way to your right, you see where the rocks are wet right there? There, I found this really cool spot where I could stand right there in the corner, and literally on high tide, the waves would come crashing up and over and then rush around the rocks behind me, and I would stay dry just in that one spot. I was 17, so give me some grace. Maybe 18. Now, why do I bring that up? Because it was in that spot, even in my sinful, Jesus trying to call me, but me in rebellion way, I was pondering these types of questions. And feeling that emptiness, that vanity of vanities, all is vanity, as it says in Ecclesiastes. Because I was searching for everything under the sun, and it didn't actually provide meaning, purpose, fulfillment, significance. Years later, when I moved here, this is my new spot. It's kind of hard to see, but that's 1,000 steps. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend it. If you can, they're slippery, so be careful. And that's the sunset taken from that spot. And I've gone there, and there's this one, if you go to the right, there's this one rock where I have sat many hours reading scripture, preparing sermons, and pondering the bigger questions of life. Now, hopefully, you already have a spot where you can go and just breathe and think. But if you don't like have that spot, hopefully you'll find a spot. Take this sermon with you, and by God's grace, begin to walk in God's ways, in the way of love, and begin to see how. And my main point this morning: love works. Love works. Now, I was studying this text leading up to today and came across some amazing work by Harvard Institute for Quantitative Social Sciences. Everybody say that with me. I'm just kidding. they are studying what it means for humans. Listen to this. They're studying for human flourishing at a retirement age. And so they're thinking about, okay, so what are some of the characteristics of people that have gotten older in life where they actually are fulfilling or fulfilled or have health or these types of things? It's an amazing study. For instance, I'll just pique your interest. This is one of them right off that study. It says, a religious/spiritual upbringing not only protects against dangers of adolescence, the one previous to this talked about drug use and depression, but contributes positively to overall quality of life. Those who attended religious services are 18% more likely to report high levels of happiness. 18%, it's not too bad. But look at this next one. 87% more likely to have high levels of forgiveness. I thought that was so intriguing. And then over here, those who pray or meditate frequently, 38% more likely to volunteer in their community. 38%. And then 47% more likely to have a sense of mission and purpose. And that's just one example of the different studies that I've kind of gone through and read. But what's interesting, though, now, I want to be fair. There's a ton of articles and a ton of research on this one's website, just article after article, videos to watch, professors teaching on the idea of purpose or teleology, which is the study of prayer. Like, all these different things are on there. But to date, so in my research, I have yet to find anything that says what the Bible clearly states, that love is the answer. That love is the answer. That love works. In other words, it's love for God and others that brings coherence, significance, and purpose in our lives. When we understand the love that God has for us, and then we respond to loving God and loving others, all of a sudden, we find ourselves in that spot where it's just like, I feel connected. I feel something higher than me. I feel a greater purpose. There's something going on in my soul that just feels right. And what Paul is writing to the church in Corinth is he, throughout all the way through chapters 1 through 12, kind of leading them and guiding them and shepherding them through to this one chapter where I believe he kind of narrows it in and says, this is what will get you what you actually want. Not just the higher gifts of prophecy and tongues, not just the, you know, the guy that speaks up front, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, not just that. No, it's not that at all. It's you being part of the church, as we learned in 1 Corinthians 12, something bigger than yourself. But the element, the motivation, all of it, love, is love. So let's back up for a minute and just assume that we're all skeptics, okay? You with me? You might say, if you were a skeptic, wait a minute. Harvard has not mentioned love as a one thing that brings about all existential understanding. Do you think you're smarter than the guys at Harvard? No. But God is. But God is. Now, let's just assume God created all things. I'm just going to walk you through this real quick. Let's just assume God created all things, including humanity, which, by the way, that includes you, in case you were wondering. He would have an outside time and space understanding of what our purpose is. Now, the Westminster Catechism was written by a bunch of theologians that began to answer some of these bigger questions. So I'm just going to run through the first three questions and then the answers. The first one, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Amen? And that's them taking a survey of Scripture. If you look up Westminster Catechism, you can see all the Scripture references to all these statements. Question number two, what rule hath, I love that, just kept it Old English, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? Answer, the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. Question number three, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And so what we see in these is that, say you're the skeptic, you're kind of out on a limb, you're just like not sure about the whole Christianity thing. If you just simply walk, at least you'll be able to understand why we believe this, because we actually believe God created the heavens and the earth, that he actually sent his son to live and die and rise for us, that people actually witnessed that, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures were written for us to know how to live our lives towards and for God. Okay, you guys with me? So, and in the Scriptures, kind of the big idea, if you will, what man is called to believe and what duty is required of man. Believe and required of man. And Jesus says it this way in regards to all the ways in which God has told us to walk. All the duty that is commanded, required of mankind. They are all under the command of two. Two commands. Most of you probably know what's coming. Matthew 22 up on the screen. You shall, this is Jesus speaking, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to what he says. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The entire Old Testament, the 613 laws written out in the Old Testament, including the Big Ten, all kind of come in to this idea, and the common denominator about God and others is what we're studying. Love is love. Now, with that command in mind, the Apostle Paul takes a look at this beautiful mess of a church, and he begins his argument for how love works. It's love that brings coherence, meaning, and purpose. Chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So now, obviously, we have some context here because he's talking about the kind of idea, like those that spoke in tongues in church and they kind of got attention. And so people wanted that attention. And then there might have been some spiritual arrogance there. You guys have never seen that, right? Spiritual arrogance? No, yeah, probably not here. But it's out there, trust me. And so he's probably addressing some of this, but behind that, or I believe inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to what's known as coherence. Now, let me define that for you. And this comes right from the Harvard Institute for Quantitative Social Science. Coherence, understanding deeper questions of the meaning of life. That you're coherent. And it speaks to this idea. And what I loved about the article that I read from Harvard, they began to, these definitions that we're going to talk through, they began to define these definitions so they could get to what it means to have a purposeful living and what it means to, at towards the end of life, go, yeah, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I feel like I fulfilled my purpose. And so what he says here, even if I speak to angels and speak multiple different languages, including the tongues of angels' language, like I speak in tongues. And the Apostle Paul, I love it, not in spiritual arrogance, but just in truth, he goes, I speak in tongues more than all of you. It's like even that, but you remove love from that, you are not coherent. You're not gaining a deeper understanding answering the questions for the meaning of life. Ah, but let's look at it in the positive. If you have love, and you speak multiple languages, and are super gifted like the Apostle Paul, then imagine the fruitfulness in your life. Imagine the fruitfulness. And again, this isn't just adding into, like putting on a jacket of love and, you know, I better figure this out. What Paul is saying is the very motivation for greatness, the very motivation for all of it is love. Motivate yourself towards love, loving God and loving others, and you'll see greatness. Pursue greatness alone. Noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 1, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So we see that. And then chapter 13, verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am, what's it say, church? Nothing. I am nothing. And this speaks to the idea of significance. Significance means this up on the screen. Whoa. It's okay. What gives one meaning in life? What gives one meaning in life? You could also say in this one, identity. And what he's saying here is that, listen, and look at the list of accolades going on here. Prophetic powers, to be able to speak prophetically, kind of read somebody's mail, if you will. Like someone walks in the church and is just like, you're struggling with this. And they're like, no one knows that. Even if you have that kind of prophetic power, look what it goes on to say. Understand all mysteries and all knowledge. In other words, you're the kind of person that's like, you go to read the scriptures and all of a sudden you're just like, I got this, 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 and this. In fact, I've run into this before. Have you ever counseled or talked to somebody that you're talking to them and they have some serious problems in life, in marriage, and these types of things, but all the advice you give them, I've had this experience quite a few times, all the advice you give them, they're like, I already know that. You ever met, maybe you are that guy or gal, I don't know. But what I do know this is the fruit of that person's life was not this. Not that of love. And so even if you have all the answers, but have not love, and look what it goes on to say. You have faith so as to remove mountains. Come on, somebody. Like the gift of faith, like when you pray, it happens. Like just wham, television evangelist type stuff. Crazy. But have not love, your significance, the meaning of your life. Man, Paul says and confesses, I am nothing. Nothing. But imagine. Imagine you do have prophetic powers. You do have crazy amount of faith. Imagine you do have that seminary degree in the Bible and understand not just what the word says, but how to apply it to other people. And you have love. Now that's a man or a woman of God. And so love begins to fulfill our coherence. Love begins to fulfill our significance. Now, verse 3. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This speaks to the idea of purpose. Purpose is defined by Harvard Institute for Quantitative Social Sciences is this. Purpose, being directed towards a certain end. Being directed towards a certain end. In other words, you have a direction in life where there's like a finish line. And whatever that line is, you're going to fulfill it. It's called purpose. And what he's saying here is even the most sacrificial person, the person that gives away all his money, the person that even would give away, like take a bullet for you, bro, like that kind of like person. But if they don't have love, they are not fulfilling the purpose that God has given them. They gain nothing. And I can't help but when I read this to think of when the sheep and the goat story that Jesus tells. Jesus speaks to this type of significance and this type of purpose and this type of coherence. And so much as this, that people did prophesy. People did cast out demons. People did all kinds of amazing sacrifices. But then God said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And if we take these together, it's because there wasn't a love for God and a love for others. But how do we know? How can I tell if I am currently or future-wise headed down the path of love that God has designed me to walk in towards and for God and others? Let's read the rest of our text. Chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Church, love never ends. That's how you know. Those qualities, those characteristics are coming forward in your life, again, not in perfection, but in direction. And your pursuit of love may look like the squiggly line, and you're just all over the place. At a starting point, you just get there. But church, let's get there together. Because love works. It fulfills. It makes our purpose purposeful. It gives us significance. And there's a certain coherence to understanding the mysteries of God and the mysteries of humanity when we pursue love. Church, love works. Let's get to work. Let's get to work. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, in the power of your Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that you would initiate something in us, that today we would change and begin to pursue what it means to love, and then run our lives through the grid of your definition of what love is. And that we would love you and love others with that kind of love. To your glory and our joy. And all God's people said. Now here's what I want to do. Because there's something that can happen with a sermon like this. Is that you could read through that and you might be going, yeah, I'm pretty patient. I thought I was kind all week. Anybody? I was definitely irritable. And what you can do is, whether you're nailing it or failing it, you can find yourself in shame or pride. If you're nailing it, pride. If you're failing it, shame. But that's where the table comes in. You see, when you apply the gospel to all these things, there is forgiveness and grace for those that haven't pursued love. You can find that forgiveness and grace at the cross. And for those of us that are just nailing some of these things, we praise God for the grace he gave us. And then what? Well, it's all wrapped in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. And we celebrate and remember that by taking a little piece of bread and some juice. The bread represents his body and the juice represents his blood. And we take that in remembrance of Jesus' ultimate love for us and his sacrifice. Because Jesus was all those things and more. And yet he still gave himself for us so that we could love him and love others. So over the next two songs, when you're ready, I want to invite you to the table to come and take communion and remember the cross. That pursuing love is possible. Amen? Amen. Please stand with us.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.